Downward facing dog. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Downward facing dog. So the foundation for moving into downward dog is the table pose. Normally that is, because we can be going into it from other positions. But learning downward facing dog, let's just come into table pose. And in table pose, our wrists are aligned with each other underneath the shoulders. Our knees are underneath the hips and aligned. Then just move your hands about a hand length forward of where they were directly under the shoulders. And this is going to be the place that most of us will find best alignment. But you may have to adjust your body according to its needs. When we're ready, as we inhale, lift the hips high and keep the knees bent. So come up onto the balls of the feet, so the toes and the balls of the feet. Keep the knees bent. And as you keep the knees bent, we're going to just give some focus to lengthening the spine, sits bones moving high. Now tune into the hands, the fingers. Ideally, the fingers are well spread, middle finger directly forward, so the two middle fingers are parallel or close to it. And just see if you can adjust the weight of the top of the body on those hands evenly. So base of the thumb, base of the index finger, base of the little finger, and the center of the heel of the hand. So the weight is evenly distributed across the hands, and a particular focus on the base of that index finger. When we're ready, start to really feel energy streaming up the arms straighten, energy streaming up those arms, rotate your upper arms outwardly, and feel the energy streaming all the way up the spine, up through the sits bones to the sky. With that nice length in the spine, start to straighten the legs, bringing the heels down towards the mat. Often, when people are going into downward dog for the first time in a class, it's nice to do the walking dog, where you can bend one knee, straighten the other leg, and if you want to give extra attention to the toes, then you can bring the top of the toes onto the mat as you bend that knee, and as you straighten the leg, really stretch the underside of the toes and the arches of the feet. So if you're walking the dog, enjoy the movements to give your body anything it needs in the pose. When it's time to go into the full pose, or if you're going directly into the classic dog, start to give full attention to the spine. It's the main game in this pose, lengthening that spine. So drawing the abdomen in and up to the spine, the sits bones are moving high. Check that neck is well aligned. The chin lightly tucked to the chest, or that sensation of it lightly tucking to the chest. And start to bring those heels down as you keep the sits bones high. Now most of us won't have the heels coming fully to the mat if you're maintaining the alignment in the pose, but if you do, that's okay. Keep lengthening that spine, sits bones moving high. Imagine someone is holding your hips and drawing them up towards the sky. That shoulder girdle is nice and stable. You're rotating those upper arms outwardly. Sometimes it can help people to feel that they're opening a jam jar with their right hand, turning it clockwise, rotating to the right, and with the left hand opening it anti-clockwise. This is a way to really tune into that opening of the shoulders. So the upper arms are rotating outwardly and you'll feel that expansiveness in the shoulders. Keep that sense of focus, breathing fully through the pose. And it's a pose that we can enjoy for as long as we like, of course. But we want to make sure we're not straining wrists. There's no strain. This should be a nice energizing and comfortable posture. When it's time for us to come out of the pose, we can just relax back down onto all fours, and a simple counter pose is just to relax in child pose. It is a neutral forward bend. We can always follow a downward dog with any sort of back bend pose, anything at all from cobra. There's a whole range of back bends. But you'll find that downward dog, it's just one of those poses that can be very restorative. It's so good for lengthening the legs, giving the calves and hamstrings a wonderful stretch. It's so good for just creating that extra spaciousness in the spine, opening up the shoulders. Sometimes when I teach the pose, before we actually go up into downward dog, I invite people to come into child pose, bring their arms forward in extended child, turn the palms up, and just observe the experience in the shoulders when you turn the palms up, and then turn the palms down and repeat. And what people will notice is when the palms are up, they'll be widening those shoulders. And this is the action we're wanting to do when we're in downward dog, to really create spaciousness in those shoulders. So if people have learnt that in this with this technique, they'll often very quickly get the sense of moving into downward dog in a way that really keeps those shoulders nice and broad. Of course, some common problems in the pose. People can be straining their wrists, and if the shoulders are over the wrists or too close to being over the wrists, this will definitely put a lot more pressure on the wrists. So we want to reduce the angle of the wrist to the mat. And another common problem, of course, is as people lower the heels, they have the focus on getting the heels low and they lose the spinal alignment. So it's very important to keep that spine nice and long. It's a very good pose to get some support from a friend or a yoga buddy to lift those hips and lengthen those spines as you lift the hips. And there's different ways we can adjust people in the posture, but it's an excellent all-round pose, and it's one of the bread and butter postures in any practice. Namaste.